Every day in countless languages around the world, Christians pray this prayer recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, that is also found in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. It is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer because it is Jesus' teaching on how to come to God in prayer. The prayer is not necessarily to be recited repetitively, word for word. Instead, it is intended to be a template for us to follow. Jesus wants us to be confident in God's word when we pray, not in our many words like the pagans did to attract the attention of their gods. He cautions us in verse 8, saying, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." The Lord's Prayer has two sets of three requests or petitions. The first set of three is directly concerned with God, with God's name, God's kingdom, and his will, verses 9 to 10. Verses 9 begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Leviticus 11:44 reminds us that God is already holy. So the prayer is not that God is made holy, but that he is regarded as holy. In praying, "Hallowed be your name," we ask that we as Christians will treat God's name as holy and cause it to be treated like that by other people. Every Christian must use the name of God with awe and reverence and should encourage others to do the same. Using God's name as a swear word or an exclamation mark is wrong and only bring shame and dishonor to God. Hallowed be your name. The second petition is concerned about God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. God's kingdom is not only the rule of God over the universe, but also his spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit their lives to his authority. God's kingdom is already established in Jesus and is present wherever his followers are. However, we are still to pray for the day when the whole world will acknowledge his rule. We are to pray that the kingdom will continue conquering people's hearts and through the preaching of his word, and that many will turn to him for salvation and submit their lives to God's rule. Your kingdom come. And thirdly, we must pray for God's will to be done everywhere. Your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. By praying for God's will, not our own, to be done, we acknowledge that we are willing to submit ourselves under his rulership and kingship. Therefore, we reject our own will and recognize that God is God and we are not. The will of God, as revealed in the Word of God, is something that we must pray for, that we may see it being followed by people everywhere. The concern for God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will forms the background for the second set of three petitions that are mainly about our human needs: food, forgiveness, and guidance. Verses 11 encourages us to ask God for our daily bread, that is, our material provision for our daily needs. To ask for our daily bread is a reminder of Israel's time in the wilderness when God provided for his people's daily needs. He provided food and water they needed just at the right time. It is a blessing that Christians can trust God for their daily physical needs. We have what we need because our Heavenly Father provides for all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 19. The second petition regarding our human needs is our need for forgiveness. We are prone to sin daily, and sin damages our relationship with God, and we constantly need to restore that relationship with God through forgiveness. So we pray, as in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. The word debt reminds us that though we owe God far more than the money, He still forgives us when we repent. We are reminded to forgive those who offend us because God has forgiven us. It is only those who know how to forgive who will be more open to forgiveness from God and others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The last petition seeks God's protection and guidance. Verses 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Satan always uses sin and temptation to cause a Christian's downfall. To defeat him, we must fight against him with the power that God provides and always ask God's guidance away from Satan and sin. Lead us not into temptation. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. As we pray to our faithful Father, let us pray that His name will be seen as the holy name that it is, that His kingdom will come fully and visibly, that His will be done on earth as it is already done in heaven. Let us also pray that He will provide for us, His children, with our daily needs, that He will forgive our sins against Him, and that He will protect us against sin's deadly stings. For all His goodness to us, Christians' proper response to God is that of praise, saying, Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.